On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Still getting kind of used to the new device. You'll have that. Yeah, really. Howdy. We're live. This is The Horn. It is the 14th day of May, 2015. Jeremy in Vermont tells me loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you, Jeremy. And it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I got a feeling we're gonna feel it. Well, I don't know. It's a little prickly out there today. Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. And of course, if you want to be part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the live program from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific, run on over to headonradionetwork.com, and that's where you'll find the chat room. Jump right in, and we say good evening, and as usual, a ring of the cowbell for those who are in there right at showtime. Thank you, Anatole. Good to see you. Good to see you, 4 of 9. Good to see you, Jeremy in Vermont, and good to see you, Texas T, all capably moderated by longtime Horn chat room moderator Sparky, who is a third-stage guild navigator and has folded space to become Man Cave. The Horn is, of course, a listener-supported operation, and I want to thank very kindly Margaret and Joyce, who not only have taken care of the shortfall, but made fundraising for the program significantly less daunting for the next few days. Thank you, both of you, indeed, very, very much. Thank you also going out to Kelly for taking a big bite out of the fundraising goal. I tell you, it makes it a lot less spooky trying to get from one program to the next and one month to the next with things like that. Okay, see, sometimes I look away from the chat room and I look back and I go, what? Apparently our buddy Texas T is talking to himself. Aren't we on? Because it's silent here. How about turning up the volume, you idiot? See, I always assume if there's a volume problem and an idiot involved, that's probably me. But no, I think we've got all the buttons in all the right places. And well, I think I was a little gained up on the intro, but you'll have that. No, really, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday. If you want to help be part of the ongoing maintenance and continuation of the Horn, please. Feel free to jump on by the Contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com. The PayPal interface there is fairly easy to negotiate. You do not have to fill in all the really nosy stuff. It's all about just getting to the next screen. Get to the next screen. Right? Right. And so that, or you can also participate via the United States Postal Service, in which case checks and money orders not made payable to Bob Kincaid but to The Horn should be mailed to, obviously, The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And remember, you know, we're not selling anything here. We're just trying to maintain a non-profit-driven, a non-profit-driven effort to create safe, progressive, liberal conversation space. So thank you one and all who make all of this possible. Having said that, it's time for some loin girding. As in, gird up your loins, because we're gonna... I'm sorry, I don't care how many times it says that in the book. Loin girding just sounds gross. But nonetheless, well, maybe the more modern parlance would be strap in, because it's going to get weird out there this evening. You know, we've had a lot of religious doings and some political shenanigans. How's about we consider the Thorn in the Side Thursday is dedicated to real grade A, number one, USDA, that's the United States Dumbass Administration, approved right-wing attempts at thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let us consider, shall we? Let us consider a little something going down in the state of Wyoming, Stan. Yeah, we don't often think of Wyoming as being a Stan state, but it most assuredly is. Oh yes, Wyoming, or the Republicans therein. Wyoming has decided, via something called Senate Bill 12, and if you want to get Orwellian, well, this is Orwellian. Senate Bill 12 in the Wyoming legislature is called the Data Trespass Bill. Yeah, this is the real Lulu. I ran across this a couple of days ago, yesterday, and it didn't, well, for obvious reasons, it didn't make it into prayer meeting Wednesday, because it's really not religion industry stuff. Mm-hmm. It made it to Thorn in the Side Thursday, because, I mean, this really is some serious right-wing intellect at work. The Repiglicans, the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, Republicans generally in Wyoming, considered the various and sundry problems that face that state. Wyoming is not a particularly wealthy state. It is, in fact, Wyoming, a resource curse state, because Wyoming encompasses what is called the Powder River Basin, the Powder River Basin being a humongous strip mine complex. And listen, just because you don't have to blow up any mountains to get to the coal, and you just dig a hole in the ground and you don't mine it out in traditional fashions, but you just have a giant open cesspit of the stuff, doesn't mean it ain't toxic and it ain't nasty. No. Senate Bill 12 has been signed into law by Republican Governor Matt Mead. It was signed into law back in March, as a matter of fact. And I would hope that there will be some sort of a constitutional challenge to this, although that is not the given that it so often used to be in this once great nation, the greatest country in the world on earth now forever today. They're worried in Wyoming. No, they're not worried about poverty or teen pregnancy or a woman's right to autonomy in decisions regarding the workings of her own body. They're not worried about race. They're not worried about infrastructure. No, you know what they're worried about in Wyoming? Tree huggers. And not just tree huggers, but high-technology tree huggers. And by high-technology tree huggers, we mean tree huggers with cameras. As a result of the signing into law of State Bill 12, the Orwellianly named Data Trespass Bill is now in effect, and it forbids, and this is language from the statute itself, it forbids, it's going to take, well, let's go to the bill language. An act relating to crimes and offenses creating the crimes of trespassing to unlawfully collect resource data and unlawful collection of resource data, limiting use of unlawfully collected data, providing for expungement, providing definitions, and providing for an effective date. When parsing out a statute, one has to look at it in chunks. And in this particular case, the title of Section 1 of Wyoming Statute 63414 is created to read, because this is all brand new, trespassing to unlawfully collect resource data, unlawful collection of resource data. A person is guilty of trespassing to unlawfully collect resource data if he... there's bound to be a statute out there that says that in Wyoming, if you say he, you also mean she and possibly several different species of cattle. One, enters onto open land for the purpose of collecting resource data. We're still going to have to get around to defining resource data, aren't we? Did you notice that? Open land? As in not posted, not individually necessarily individually owned or privately held, just enters onto open land for the purpose of collecting resource data. Enters onto open land for the purpose of collecting resource data and does not have an ownership interest in the real property or statutory, contractual, or other legal authorization to enter or access the land to collect resource data, or B, written or verbal permission of the owner, lessee, or agent of the owner to enter or access the land to collect the specified resource data. Big B, subsection, okay, so now we're into section B. A person is guilty of unlawfully collecting resource data if he enters onto private open land and collects resource data without, next page, come on. Here we go. Without an ownership interest in the real property or statute, yada, yada, yada. Written or verbal permission of the owner, lessee, or agent, yada, yada, yada. C, trespassing to unlawfully collect resource data and unlawfully collecting resource data are punishable as follows. One, by imprisonment for not more than 1 year, a fine of not more than $1,000 or both. That's a misdemeanor. By imprisonment of not less than 10 days nor more than 1 year, a fine of not more than $5,000 or both, if the person has previously been convicted of trespassing or unlawfully collecting resource data. Okay, we're finally going to get a definition. As used in this section, collect means to, okay, so we're unlawfully collecting resource data now, remember? What do we mean when we say collect? Is this going out and... Because, see, this is an anti-tree hugger bill. And by that we mean this is a bill that tries to stymie anyone who, say, after a let's say a toxic waste spill from a strip mine in Wyoming would want to go and take pictures of and maybe collect water samples of stuff that used to be water but is now fouled with a bunch of damn coal sludge. You know, put it in a jar, hold it up, say, look, they poisoned the water. Collect means to take a sample of material, acquire, gather, photograph, or otherwise preserve. So I guess effing sketch pads are out as well. Information in any form. I mean, it don't matter if you translate it into Klingon and put it in the cloud. From open land which is submitted or intended to... Oh, here's the intent part, and this is just delightful. Which is submitted or intended to be submitted to any agency of the state or federal government. So let's say you've got some toxic mine drainage from a godforsaken coal sludge spill into some rancher's watershed, or maybe a watershed of the people of the state of Wyoming, and you want to get a jar of it, and you want to document date, place, time, chain of custody, all of that, and you want to take it to the state Department of Environmental Protection, which ain't much when it comes right down to it, and say, see here now. Well, unless the coal company tells you you can do it, you can't do it. And you can't give it to that job-killing EPA either. And don't you dare think about giving it to the Office of Surface Mine Reclamation and Enforcement. Giving it to the Department of Interior is right out, and insofar as it is probably full of deadly poison, you damn sure don't want to give it to the National Institutes of Health, the Centers for Disease Control, the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences. No, you don't want to do that either. So that's what collecting means. Open land means land outside the exterior boundaries of any incorporated city, town, subdivision, or development. Right? Yeah. Now, finally, in Roman numeral 4, resource data means data relating to land or land use, including, but not limited to, data regarding agriculture, minerals, geology, history, cultural artifacts, archaeology, air, water, soil, conservation, habitat, vegetation, or animal species. Now, there are some things that resource data does not mean. It doesn't mean data that is used for surveying to determine property boundaries or the location of survey monuments, because those could be handy for, say, coal companies or frackers or various other hard rock miners. It does not mean data used by a state or local governmental entity to assess property values. No. It doesn't mean data collected or intended to be collected by a peace officer while engaged in the lawful performance of his official duties. His, because I'm sure there are no female peace officers in Wyoming. That's why Dick Cheney's wife had to write that book about 19th century Wyoming, that really, really, really creepy, creepy novel called Sisters several years back that contains the 19th century really gross scenes about a woman fondling the dead hair that she had cut from the dead hair of the dead woman who was her lover in 19th century Wyoming. Don't blame me. Didn't write the book. I did read it. I'll never be well. Okay, so are we all clear on what you can't do in Wyoming stand now anymore? Let's say a bomb train blows up, as bomb trains are wont to do, as we found out in tiny Heimdall, North Dakota, last week. But let's say a bomb train blows to kingdom come, because bomb trains blow up, because bomb trains are going to blow up, because bomb trains are carrying stuff that ought not be carried and shaken, rattled, and rolled around. So you, keeper of the commons, you, protector of seven generations of the future, you want to get out and photograph it. Or, more importantly, since it seems like these bomb trains have a way of blowing up near bodies of water or streams of some sort, you want to go downstream and take a pickle jar that you've rinsed all the pickle juice out of, because that could skew the data. And you want to dip it in the stream and gather up the poisonous results of the relentless pursuit of profit downstream from the blowing up bomb train. And you do this because you want to submit it to the federal government. You've just violated the law. And one of them peace officers can enter onto the property, the open land, for the purposes of roughing you and cuffing you and dragging you off to the county pokey and making sure that evidence of toxic water pollution, you know, violations of things like the Clean Water Act or maybe air dust sampling monitor stuff that would be the Clean Air Act. Well, the peace officer will make sure that stuff never sees the light of day, because Section E no resource data collected in violation of this section is admissible in evidence in any civil, criminal, or administrative proceeding other than a prosecution for violation of this section or a civil action against the violator. So if you've got a pickle jar full of toxic bomb train effluent pollution, you can't use that to prove that the goddamned oil company is polluting the waters of the United States. But the people of the state of Wyoming can use it to put you in jail and shut you the hell up, because money. And it just can't be. It's not admissible. There's not a hearsay exception. There's not a rule of evidence. They ain't nothing that will make it admissible in any criminal, civil, or administrative proceeding in the state of Wyoming. Now, what's interesting is that it doesn't designate simply the state of Wyoming. This presumes to make it inadmissible in a federal court as well, because it doesn't exclude them. And by the way, just in case some member of, say, the Wyoming Department of Environmental Protecting should happen to see that water themselves and think that it's within the course and scope of their job to go and collect it and sample it and test it and assay it and figure out what kind of what ungodly numbers of toxic chemicals are in it, they can't either, because Section F, resource data collected in violation of this section in the possession of any governmental entity as defined by Wyoming Statutes 139-103-A1, shall be expunged by the entity from all files and databases, and it shall not be considered in determining any agency action. You beginning to get an idea why this is the lead for Thorn in the Side Thursday? So let's say that Great Big Coal Corporation of America poisons a cattle rancher's water supply, and he's got a bunch of Anguses who keel over deader than Pharaoh's doorknob a couple of miles downstream. Well, he calls the Department of Environmental Protection or the Department of Natural Resources or the local sanitary board or whatever, and they come out. But the rancher doesn't actually own the land. Well, if those governmental entities, if those governmental actors, those governmental officials who are not peace officers because they ain't got a freedom protector strapped to their hip, take samples, well, one, the coal company can call a peace officer to come and arrest them. The coal company can demand that that data, which maybe the state entity might say, hey, look, you know, we need to fine them $6.13 because they've only poisoned 5 million gallons of water. These things happen also with, you know, pipeline bursts and what have you. Mm-hmm. And so they say, we're going to fine the coal company $6.13. And the coal company says, no, you ain't. Yeah, we are. We got it right. No, you don't. Can't be used in court. And you have to expunge that data from all of your holdings. You gotta pour it down the drain. And you can't use it in court. So, yeah, but you polluted the water. Well, we say we didn't. Prove it. But we, no, you don't. I mean, but we went and we get, it doesn't matter. Because we're job creators. And we will pollute every last goddamn drop of water in this state if we want to. We will foul your air. We will poison your children in the womb because we have money to make. And we didn't go and just buy that whole goddamn legislature for you to sit around thinking that you can ruin all of our fun. The bill is effective immediately. And yet nobody's in the streets in Wyoming, Stan. Little bit of shitty drafting going on here because there's nothing about trespassing over the land. Because that gets into all that riparian rights business. And who owns the air? What happens if you fly a drone with a sampling monitor over and get a picture of what kind of filth is in the air, say, over a frack pad? Little bit sloppy there. But just the same. And this is subject to debate. Granted, you can see the hydrocarbon industry's fingers all over this. I mean, don't think for a minute that Bakken crude doesn't go across Wyoming. Wyoming is, of course, just to the west-ish of the Bakken crude fields. Mm-hmm. So, all these hydrocarbon entities, they you know, they buy legislators constantly. And thanks to the Supreme Court of the United States, the open buying of legislators is no longer deemed to be prima facie evidence of corruption. Didn't know that, did you? Yeah. Citizens United and its progeny have effectively nullified practically every bribery law that could apply to an elected representative. This was reported at Think Progress yesterday by Natasha Geiling. And Natasha posits the following hypothetical. Imagine for a second a hiker who is taking a walk through a national forest in Wyoming. They have those? Well, maybe. During that hike, she notices a visibly polluted stream within the area. The next day, she returns with a camera to take a picture of the stream with the intention of showing those photographs to the local authorities as proof of pollution. Under the data trespass law, it ain't a bill, it's a law now, unless the hiker obtained specific permission from the land's owner or manager, in this case the United States Forest Service, to collect that data, she would be subject to prosecution that could result in up to $5,000 in fines and a year in prison. Actually, it says jail. There's a difference. And while the law probably won't be used to slap fines on every Yellowstone tourist with a camera, oh, Yellowstone's there! Kind of forgot about that. It does have broad-reaching implications for environmental data collection in the state, according to Justin Pidot, an assistant professor at the University of Denver Sturm College of Law, who has written a piece about the law for Slate. Professor Pidot, or Pido, I don't know, P-I-D-O-T, says people on the ground who have been engaged in this kind of data collection in the past now have to face the worry about being potentially prosecuted. The chilling effect on citizen participation is huge. By God, the Sierra Club's on the case, though. The Sierra Club says, their Wyoming chapter, the state chapters are often better than the national organization. We are deeply concerned, and by we they mean the Wyoming members of the Sierra Club, not some sort of royal we. If it was coming from the national body, I'd say it was one of the royal we's. But we are deeply concerned that this poorly written and overly vague bill will prevent concerned citizens and students from undertaking valuable research projects on public lands out of fear of accidentally running afoul of the new law, the scope of which no one clearly understands, and being criminally and civilly prosecuted. There is no need for this new bill, and we can only conclude that it is an attempt by private landowners to scare people away from valid research efforts on public land. I don't know, Connie Wilbert, organizing representative for the Sierra Club's Wyoming chapter. I don't know about that. This smells a lot more to me like something bought and paid for by the extraction industries. Or, if it turns out that, like a case of measles spreading out from some idiotic anti-vaxxer at Disney who took his virus-laden children to Disneyland, if at, say, the next meeting of the North Dakota legislature, the South Dakota legislature, the Montana legislature, the Idaho legislature, you get the idea. If this bill pops up there as well, come on, we know, right? Don't we? We know. We know where it came from. Everybody. Here, let's see, we're probably dealing with 15, 20 seconds worth of internet latency. Let's look in on the chat room. Who wrote this bill? Now, granted, we're only speculating, but our speculations have proven to be, they tend to bear fruit. Who wrote this bill? Na, 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 na. You can do it via email, too, bobkincaid@gmail.com. Na, 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 na. Hey, we have a winner! Jug of Punch got in just ahead of Sparky. Alec. The American Legislative Exchange Council, brought to you by the Koch brothers and a whole bunch of transnational, transglobal corporations who don't give a good goddamn whether you live or die. Congratulations. Wait a minute. Little cowbell jingle for Jug of Punch and Man and Sparky Man Cave in the chat room. I told you it was Orwellian. Eventually, it is because, look, the corporations work together. And those for-profit prison beds are not going to fill themselves. So, you know, let's say, let's say they're out there on the golf course one day and the CEO of Private Prisons of America just happens to be playing golf at a charity golf tournament event with the CEO of, Peabody Energy or Patriot or, hey, Patriot Coal declared bankruptcy again. And this is after they were trading at about $50 a share. But they're not gone yet. They're just still trying to figure out a way to get out of paying all those pensions to all those chumps who worked for them. Well chumped, baby. Well chumped. Yeah, all those coal miners. They thought the company liked them. They thought the company cared about them. I mean, because the company gave them T-shirts and stuff that said, "I hate tree huggers!" And "Save a coal miner's job and stop that Negro and his EPA." They give them T-shirts and everything. They did, and so the miners there at Patriot, they felt all warm and fuzzy, and then Patriot fucked them. Now they're fucking them again. I guess they didn't like them so well after all, did they? But anyway, you got Clean Water Act implications. You got Clean Air Act implications. And, you know, it's not just the hydrocarbon industry. There's a massive cattle industry up there. And it is not a euphemism to say that there are shitloads of E. coli bacteria in the streams and waterways out there on those ranch lands. Yeah, don't drink the water. Law professor Pydot said, "There's a real parallel between what this statute is doing and this effort on the part of the state and the ranchers to exclude this data that the Western Watersheds Project is collecting from inclusion on the impaired water list. The theory for most of the ranchers is, you were near my land once, so you must have trespassed." Well, and the ashes of poor old Aristotle go swirling around in the atmosphere some more. This is one of those watch this space stories. Because I have a sneaking suspicion it'll be coming to a right-wing legislature near you. Mm-hmm. Marty with an interesting question. Aren't there Native American reservations in Wyoming? What if a First Nations person wanted to document it? Well, I doubt if there would be any who knows? That's the thing about a vague statute like this. What if you're an FBI agent? Well, I don't know. There's a reference in the statute to peace officers. Is an FBI agent a peace officer? Hmm. See what I mean? Yeah, it's... They're getting a little nervous. Because, see, underneath all of this is the realization in a variety of boardrooms by these sleazy millionaires and billionaires who extract minerals and hydrocarbons and do so at a tremendous cost to human beings. They know what they're doing is nasty. They know what they're doing is bad. They know what they're doing is, oh, let's haul out some of the good ones, evil and wicked. But they also know that they are getting rich, 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 rich. I mean, comfortably well off, socially secure, whilst doing it. And since they got all that money laying around, and since the Supreme Court has said that bribery isn't really a problem anymore, well, it's a lot easier just to keep people from try to keep people from finding out how nasty and wicked and evil and bad you are than it is to just stop being nasty, evil, wicked, and bad. And that's where we are. And it'll get worse before it gets better. Because we have no mechanism, thanks to the teabaggers and the birthers and the deathers and the ninthers and the tenthers and the birchers and thanks to them, we have almost, because after all, the only way you could stop some of this foolishness is if you had some big government. We don't want big government because Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and Alexander Hamilton, they never envisioned any big government. They were small government libertarians. Thomas Jefferson's original snake flag, don't read to me, is, well, I got it there. It's hid away in the Library of Congress. Dickheads. So there's that. There's other stuff, though, too. Over at The Guardian. And every time I read a piece from The Guardian, I think, gee, wouldn't it be nice if we had a newspaper here in Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever? If we had a newspaper here in Merca that would do, like, investigative journalism instead of, you know, Win the Morning. Or puff pieces about whether or not it was wrong for President Obama to call Senator Warren Elizabeth. Keep wondering if the person who wrote that story at the New York Times was sitting there typing away. The White House said today that it intended no insult when the president merely referred to Senator Warren, senator from Massachusetts, as Elizabeth instead of Senator Elizabeth Warren or Senator Warren. I wonder if the journalist typing that crap was going, me, I've got $100,000 in student loans, and I finally got a job at the New York Times, and this is what I went to school for? Well, you're not going to get a bunch of high-quality journalism out of the for-profit media in the United States, because that is not their purpose. That's not their existential purpose. It is not within their raison d'être. But you will occasionally find it at places like The Guardian, who, and this is the charming part of The Guardian, we need not worry about MRCA ever worrying about this issue, because 99.9% of MRCA does not read The Guardian. So, okay, good. It turns out, by the way, as we wave a fond farewell to Attorney General Eric Holder, as he rides off on his horse into the sunset, he rode a blazing saddle, he wore a shining star. You know, the Attorney General is ultimately in charge of the FBI. I mean, there's a director of the FBI and everything, but still. Goodbye, Eric! Shane, come back, Shane! No, don't come back. According to The Guardian, the FBI entered into a sort of casual business arrangement with TransCanada. You know, the folks who wanted to build the Keystone XL pipeline because freedom, because energy independence. Internal agency documents have bubbled to the surface. See? Yeah. Keystone, tar sands, bubbled to the surface. Don't try this at home. About the FBI's activity relative to TransCanada, relative to people protesting that godforsaken pipeline, and what the FBI could do, ask not what you can do for what TransCanada can do for you. Ask what you can do for TransCanada. Yeah, the FBI has been spying on activists engaged in opposition to the Keystone XL pipeline. I know this comes as absolutely no surprise to anybody in the Horn Family Commune congregation, right? Almost to a level of, well, of course they did. There is no, really, and I'm almost afraid to say this, lest I be proven wrong by the goddess of irony. There's no fascist act that an agency of this government can take that will shock us anymore. This or any other government, governmental subdivision of the United States. Police can, with near impunity, gun down people in the streets. No biggie. And the FBI can apparently spy on peaceful protesters engaging in the exercise of their constitutional rights. Now, even though the people were, and a lot of this happened in the Houston, Texas field office, even though people opposed to the pipeline are generally law-abiding citizens who are deeply concerned about the impact of the tar sands crude on, say, climate change, or worried about the impact that a massive spill of oil from that pipeline would have on, say, the Oglala Aquifer, which provides clean drinking water to the middle of the entire country. Well, having had a meeting with TransCanada, sworn constitution-upholding law enforcers of the FBI in peace and war, decided that those protesters were environmental extremists. They even wrote memos about it. Many of these extremists believe the debates over pollution, protection of wildlife, safety, and property rights have been overshadowed by the promise of jobs and cheaper oil prices. The Keystone Pipeline, as part of the oil and natural gas industry, is vital to the security and economy of the United States. There are 80 pages of previously confidential FBI files that Earth Island Journal and The Guardian got hold of after a Freedom of Information Act request. According to The Guardian article, between November 2012 and June 2014, the FBI collated inside knowledge about forthcoming protests, documented the identities of individuals photographing, oh, again with the cameras, photographing oil-related infrastructure, scrutinized police intelligence, and cultivated at least one informant. You know, a snitch. In particular, the FBI went after an organization called Tar Sands Blockade, who takes direct civil disobedience action. No, they're not, you know, they're not spiking anything. They're not setting fire to anything. They're not blowing up anything. They're not shooting anybody. They're not holding anybody hostage. They take nonviolent direct action. You know, they chain themselves to things. They sit in the road. Ooh-wee! That sure is dangerous! Do you remember in the weeks and months leading up to the attacks of September the 11th, 2001, do you remember how the FBI, under calico cat-fearing, self-oil-anointing, Attorney General John Ashcroft, remember how they went after hookers and Tommy Chong? Because Tommy Chong at the time had a website up called Chong's Bongs. Well, they had a small army of FBI field operatives out there combing the seamy underside of Merca, trying to make sure that they could put that dangerous goddamn criminal Tommy Chong away. Meanwhile, people were signing up to learn how to fly planes and take off without bothering. I wonder why it is they don't want to learn to land. Damnedest thing. And, you know, just kind of blew right past the FBI because they had serious law enforcement to attend to. Freedom. In one instance, the FBI found out about a couple of Houston's finest to protect and to serve, who stopped two men and a woman. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, tell me more. Two men and a woman who were photographing, taking pictures, you know, near the industrial port of Houston, where the tar sands pipeline would presumably terminate. Interesting word, that, terminate. And the FBI put in their files, they were using a large and sophisticated-looking camera. Sophisticated-looking. You know, it was all blinged out. Had some rhinestones on it and some little ermine tails hanging off the lens, gold, little gold-plated knobs, very sophisticated. And instead of that click every time they took a picture, there was a little sensor and something like, we're in the money, we're in the money. Sophisticated, I'm telling you. Yeah. When you changed batteries, there was another little thingy that played putting on the Ritz. By the way, just in case anybody's wondering, all of this shit's illegal. Or at least it's supposed to be illegal. All of this was stuff the FBI was not supposed to be doing. Oh, joy. And once they got busted for it, the FBI said, "Why, we are committed to acting properly under the law. While the FBI approval levels required by internal policy were not initially obtained, once discovered corrective action was taken, noncompliance was remedied, and the oversight was properly reported through the FBI's internal oversight mechanism." I feel ever so much more relieved. The article goes on to describe the thoughts of Mike German, who is a former FBI agent and is now a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice in New York. He said, "It is clearly troubling that these documents suggest the FBI interprets its national security mandate as protecting private industry from political criticism." Well, there is that. Meanwhile, since then, as The Guardian and Adam Fetterman write, at least a dozen anti-tar sands campaigners in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho have been contacted by the FBI. The agency has said they are not under investigation. Why, heck no. So the FBI sits down and, you know, just have a couple of half-calves soy lattes with extra foam and little hearts drawn in the foam with TransCanada and FBI and the little biscottis. And by the way, what's the definition of fascism? Oh, there it is. It's the merger of the power of the state with the power of corporations. By God, that fits like a glove. And it fits, and we don't got to acquit. But don't worry, they won't be charged. Nope. So that's the filibobster for this evening. There's a whole lot more thorns out there. Maybe you've got some you know about yourself and would like to share. Well, if you'd like to, the two numbers are 304-574-8178. There's someone on that line right now. The other number is 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Jump right in. The conversation is fine. If you prefer to reach out via email, that is Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. Or you can reach me on Facebook or at Bob Kincaid on Twitter. Easy, easy, easy. And hey, if you popped into the Horn chat room, you may have noticed that the topic line in there is, "It's raining in Los Angeles." Whoa. And by the way, good evening, Bean. Good evening, Kathy. Good evening, Stockton Larry. And good evening to longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Lottie. Jump right in. Anybody else who wants to participate, you are more than welcome. Yeah, I got a note from Tim in L.A. saying, "There's this wet stuff falling from the sky, Bob. Do you have any idea what it might be?" down in Los Angeles, down in Southern California. Oh, and you think you know what the bumper's going to be. You don't. Every drop of rain is a precious drop of rain. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I know it's raining again. It's Thursday, May 14, 2015.
What we should have been doing is subsidizing the safety of those passengers on that Amtrak train yesterday.
Hours after Amtrak crash, Republicans cut Amtrak's budget. FBI violated its own rules to spy on Keystone Pipeline protesters. Plus,
this is probably the single biggest thing that we can do in the long term to save the most money for consumers.
Hawaii votes to be first in the nation to reach 100% renewable energy.
All of those firsts and more on our 600th Green News Report, straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
In Baltimore, I'm glad things have calmed down, and not a moment too soon, because the protests, you saw this, were spreading to different cities. And here in L.A., we were hoping it didn't turn violent, because we do not have enough water to turn the hoses on anything.
Too true. This is your 600th Green News Report.
We need that water.
Okay, Desi Doyen, it's our 600th Green News Report.
I know.
We just had our 6th anniversary, and it's a 6-minute broadcast, so here's my proposal. Everyone who supports what we do here needs to go by greennews.bradblog.com and consider donating either $600 or $60 or $6, $16, $26, $36, $66. We just appreciate your support to help us stay on the air. We are not funded by any corporate interests. We are funded by you, the listener. So please help us continue for another 600 episodes by stopping by greennews.bradblog.com and donating today.
Yes, thank you so much for your support.
Things have changed a lot over these 600 episodes. The fact that we're even talking about a state like Hawaii going completely renewable for their energy was unthinkable 600 episodes ago. So, well done, Desi Doyen. I say you have won the day.
Well, okay then, I'll take it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, just hours after a fatal Amtrak train crash in Philadelphia that killed at least 7 people on Tuesday, House Republicans voted to slash nearly 1/5 of Amtrak's budget. Investigators say it does appear that excessive speed was the likely cause of the derailment, but they said that the track wasn't fitted with new advanced speed control technology meant to prevent high-speed derailments. On Wednesday, National Transportation Safety Board investigator Robert Sumwalt said, quote, based on what we know right now, we feel that had such a system been installed in this section of track, this accident would not have occurred.
An excellent story, but it raises the question, why is this green news?
Well, because it's about infrastructure in America and about mass transit in America, moving us away from cars and toward more efficient means of travel. Now, the Obama administration had requested an increase in Amtrak's budget to invest in tracks, tunnels, bridges, and safety upgrades. But just hours after the accident, the House Appropriations Committee on Tuesday instead voted to cut that budget nearly 20%. During a contentious committee markup hearing of the bill, Representative Steve Israel, Democrat of New York, criticized those cuts.
We are divesting from America in this committee, and it doesn't make sense. What we should have been doing is subsidizing the safety of those passengers on that Amtrak train yesterday.
Meanwhile, in other news, the Federal Bureau of Investigation violated its own rules to spy on Keystone XL pipeline protesters in Texas. That's according to internal agency files obtained by The Guardian and Earth Island Journal. Agents in the FBI's Houston office violated Justice Department rules and failed to get senior-level approval before launching an investigation of the group Tar Sands blockade. In memos, the office labeled peaceful protesters trying to stop construction of the pipeline as, quote, environmental extremists. The FBI acknowledged the breach of protocol to The Guardian and said corrective action had already been taken.
So there was no probable cause whatsoever?
That's correct.
Oh, they're environmentalists. They're against fossil fuels. Let's investigate them. They must be bad guys.
Finally, some good news. The state of Hawaii could be the first in the nation to run entirely on 100% renewable energy. The Hawaii state legislature voted to make electricity generation 100% renewable in Hawaii by 2045. And it's not just because it's good for the planet. It's because Hawaii pays the highest electricity rates in the nation because it must import all of its fuel. And doing so will save money now, according to State Representative Chris Lee.
This is probably the single biggest thing that we can do in the long term to save the most money for consumers.
Yes, it saves money for the consumers. Way to go, Hawaii. For much more on that story and all the other ones we couldn't get to today or in the previous 599 episodes, please stop by our website at greennews.bradblog.com. We rely on you to help get the word out across our public airwaves, and we've done so for 600 episodes. Our thanks to you and all who have helped support us. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your
600
Green News Report.
You know, I admit, I don't keep track with how many programs we've done here. But I just figured, you know, we've been as long as... So we're up around some... Okay, so 6 years of the Horn would be around 1,600 shows. And you add in a few more years, good God. We're... Holy cow! I mean, even if it was just 2,000 shows, programs, that would be... 6,000 hours? 6,000 hours of programming, free of charge, no fees, no subscriptions, no Buy Gold Now ads, no ads for vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls that are growing hair on them because somebody purchased an herbal hair tonic via right-wing radio. None of that. Just you. Just you. By God, you deserve a hand. That's some pretty determined effort. Let's run over to the Skype line where I suspect we have Jim. Are you there, Jim?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm pretty good, I think. Man, what a beautiful day it was. Still is, for that matter.
But anyway, I'm very happy to hear that they're getting some rain on the West Coast. I just wonder how much longer it's going to take for enough rain to fall to restore Lake Mead to a normal level or the reservoirs and things of that nature.
Well, I think if it started raining now and didn't stop until January 1st, they still wouldn't have enough.
I think you're probably right. It's pretty dangerous out there.
Yeah, and I mean, it was raining in L.A. I mean, you mentioned Lake Mead. When's the last time a drop of rain fell in there? Of course, that's based on the Colorado River, which is, of course, filled by, what, snow melt?
Right. And yeah. It's dangerous, though. And so are all the reservoirs and things of that nature. That's the reason I sent you that thing about Petaluma.
Yeah.
About the sign hanging.
Where is Petaluma?
It's north of San Francisco, near Guerneville, up in that part of California.
Oh, okay.
And it's just a very nice little city.
Well, it looked like it. It looked like a lovely little place.
It is indeed. No, going back to what you were saying about the FBI and stuff like that, these people have their emphasis on the wrong syllable. I mean, they need to...
Yeah, I mean, doesn't that make you just want to the holler and shout a little bit and maybe run in the yard?
Well, yeah, exactly, but I don't do that sort of thing. I'm afraid I might get arrested for whatever.
Well, we'll just treat you as retired from yard running, but that doesn't mean you haven't kicked the occasional piece of furniture, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. It's really frustrating, and hear about them in Wyoming with that law and how these corporations can act with virtual impunity, and anything that is brought against them is expunged. Therefore, being expunged, it never happened.
It not only didn't happen, it never existed. The coal company poison, the E. coli, the frack fluids never entered the stream.
Mm-mm. Just didn't happen. Somebody's imagination. And if you keep persisting in trying to vocalize your imagination, we're going to take action against you.
No data, no proof. No proof, no harm, no harm, no foul. Isn't it elegant?
It's elegant, piss elegant. It's downright horrifying, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's a phrase. It is piss elegant.
That's the only thing I can say. And, you know, when you look at the for-profit media and stuff like that, you never hear a word about that. You're never going to hear it anywhere, anytime.
No, but I'll bet, by God, they had there was plenty of time to do a story on Kim Kardashian. Or the royal baby.
Please. Oh, please don't mention her. My Lord in heaven, I've never seen such things in my life. And how that can occupy, well, it's just another thing of what television is degenerated into. Just a box filled with wires and, well, no longer wires, but whatever drives it today. And, you know, I just wonder what a journalist like Edwin R. Murrow would have to say about some of these things today.
Oh, I think he'd probably have a hissy. But by the same token, back when Edward R. Murrow was working, he constantly had to fight to get whatever it was he was doing done, because even back then, it was a struggle. But you point to the essential problem. Investigative journalism in this country is dead. Or, well, not entirely dead. There's that one really good not-for-profit outfit that's still trying to do it. But it's rare that on the other hand, though, the Washington Post and the New York Times, they'll get in bed with some right-winger who writes a book that he admits has absolutely no concrete proof in it whatsoever, and it's all Hillary, oh, booga booga, Benghazi email, Clinton Foundation. And the New York Times goes, oh, really? Oh, can we see it, please?
All untrue and totally ad hominem. You know it, and I know it.
Sure, because Clinton derangement syndrome is apparently, it becomes chronic.
Well, you know, if Murrow had not had the backing of, number one, Paley and Friendly and some of those other people, when, for example, McCarthy was ranting and just destroying lives, destroying careers, and destroying everything he could with the help of that horror, Roy Cohn, and finally they brought him down when they finally attacked the army. And people like Joseph Welch and Bob Stevens were trying to finally get the word out that, for example, Cohn was trying to get special favoritism for his little boyfriend, David Chine. You know, that's what really brought him down. It took that. And by the way, G. David Chine is the one who produced that movie, The French Connection.
I knew I recognized that name.
Yeah, he had a string of hotels and had a little thing in his, like Gideon Bibles in every drawer and, of every room, a little monograph that he had written about the evils of communism, and he was essential to Joe McCarthy's committee, and, of course, he got drafted, and because he wasn't made an officer, then, you know, Roy Cohn, having the hots for Shine, tried to get Cohn elevated back to the committee and this, that, and the other. I mean, you know, this stuff isn't new, what I'm trying to say. The reason I brought this up, as a matter of fact, this afternoon while I was doing some baking and stuff like that, I watched Good Night and Good Luck. And if anyone has not seen that movie, and it has an excellent cast.
It does, and George Clooney tried to do a creditable job of as accurate as Hollywood can be, portrayal of Murrow.
Of whom, I'm sorry?
Of Edward Murrow, and of the times, of the scenario.
Oh, yeah, David did a wonderful job, and of course, the dialogue used in that movie was taken straight from Murrow's broadcast. You know, I can remember David on Murrow and see it now. I was barely out of the fourth, I wasn't even in the fourth grade, and I can remember my parents would both watch it, and, you know, the McCarthy hearings and stuff like that. And the cover-up that McCarthy was trying to do.
Well, your upbringing was a little similar to mine in that regard. Your parents were sitting there watching the news, and as a consequence, you watched too. Because
they didn't
run little Jim out of the room.
No, I just said, you know, when I first saw that man, McCarthy, on TV, and just the cadence of his speech and the tone of his voice, and I just asked my mother, I said, who is this hateful person? I mean, I wasn't even 10. And I could pick up on that. And, you know, Edward R. Murrow with his background, I mean, this guy was in London when it was being blitzed by the Luftwaffe. He didn't run like Joe Kennedy did. He didn't run like a lot of other people did. He gave them excellent reportage. And yet they tried to put him in with the communists and this, that, and the other. And it's just incredible what McCarthy tried to do. And my point in even making this call is to, I guess, share with you just my opinion. I don't think we have much better people up there in D.C. right now than we did then with McCarthy.
Oh, I think we've got proof that they are his co-equals.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the only thing they care about are the corporations, the Koch brothers, and, of course, the lobbyists on K Street who give them generous contributions to their PACs and their funds and all kinds of hush money that can do a lot of talking. And they don't represent you and me. They represent the Koch brothers and all the other people who are the shareholders. And as far as things like the Keystone pipeline are concerned, they could give a damn less if that thing were to erupt.
Well, and that's why I mentioned what I did, Jim, because most people probably don't know that the Supreme Court actually put in a signed, published majority opinion that they hold this day that the giving of money to political representatives does not in any way represent any sort of political corruption.
Yeah. And I can step out on my patio, and I can fly right over your house and wave at you through your studio window.
Yeah. Or as,
I mean, really. I mean, that's just...
Or as Catherine Hepburn said in The Lion in Winter, there'll be pork in the treetops come morning.
Yeah, you know, that's about the truth. I mean, I have never in my life seen such dishonesty and lack of decency in interpretations of law. I mean, for example, what you said about the Supreme Court, of course it is. I mean, these people know exactly what...
Sure, and to dig up another movie reference, you remember the elegantly costumed Kevin Costner version of The Untouchables?
Oh, yeah.
And remember that passage in there where he describes that in ancient Rome, if they caught someone accepting bribes, they would put him in a burlap bag with a wolf and throw him in the Tiber?
Yeah, sure do.
Not that I want to be understood as getting wistful for the Roman Republic, but it'd be nice.
Well, yeah, it would be.
But then again, 90% of these birth or death or birch or booger eaten Republicans, no self respecting wolf would bite them.
No, not at all. That's, it's just incredible. But like I said, you know, this afternoon I was watching Good Night, Good Luck, and I saw what George Clooney had tried to do with a stellar cast. And using, I mean, I can remember from my childhood the dialogue of Murrow. And there's, you know, I have a brain that just catches things and it never loses it. You know, I'm just one of those kinds of people.
I understand.
And they're right. Because I can remember sitting there, you know, having my dinner or whatever of the TV, and I said, you know, I remember that. I remember exactly what this man was saying. And, of course, you know, you had a lot of people who tried to discredit him. But I know that he will be turning over in his grave this very brave man who really once represented, and he's not the only one, who tried to represent accurate reportage. And when he saw a wrong, he tried to right it. And we, you know, for example, that young lieutenant in the Air Force, that the Air Force separated because he had relatives that may have had tangential contact with some form of socialism. He got that man reinstated. I mean, that's back when the power and the media, they did have some type of press power. And finally, when, and thank God, I'm repeating myself, McCarthy attacked the army in behalf of that David Shine and Roy Cohn. He finally got hoisted as his own petard. And now, in history, basically, I would prefer he is now somewhere in the red dust of his own predilection. But God only knows, you've got people in this country right now who are trying to bring back Joseph McCarthy, and they're trying to make some type of hero who was wronged.
Exactly.
I just don't have much to say on the program anymore because you've got too many people who are much more erudite than I.
No, you're plenty erudite, and
well, they
well
are
said.
Much more. I just don't keep up with things the way I used to because of you know, as you get older, you have to deal with certain things. You're overtaken by events, and I don't contribute anymore, really, to tell you the truth. But I thought I would call tonight and just bring that to mind. And I'll say one more thing. I have gotten so much crap on Facebook about some of these exponents of the Keystone XL pipeline, you know, saying, oh, it's just wonderful, it's going to provide all these jobs. And I've replied, and I've even stopped replying now. But I used to say to them, I said, number one, it will bring no less than 40 jobs, maybe 50 permanent jobs. And number two, may I ask you a very honest question? Would you like to have this thing in your backyard?
And of course, NIMBY is the be all and end of it. Not in my backyard.
That's it. It's okay if it destroys property of Native Americans. It's okay if it destroys some poor person who has no control over where it goes. It's okay as long as it doesn't happen to me. Well, one day it's going to come to those people who say, not happen to me. It's kind of like Pastor Niemöller once said, and you can quote it better than I can, you know, I didn't protest because they were doing this, that, and the other people, and then finally they came knocking on my door at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they put my ass in a concentration camp.
Yeah, And the pity of that, I suppose, is that, and it's the same thing that we apply to that entire historical era, Jim, is that we assume that it has to look and sound a certain way, or it isn't that. But we have the example by way of that statement that when fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in the flag and carrying a cross. And how is that not where we are?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's so much more insidious, and it's so much more beguiling, or it has so much more money. and, you know, that type of thing. And, of course, you've got the education level in this country that has been reduced so low that people don't even realize what they're hearing. Like you refer to, who is it, Marvelline and her husband sitting there with their whatever. I mean, oh, well, I don't know about that. I mean, the education level in this country has dropped so low, the emphasis on history, civic, social studies, things of that nature. People are just totally immune to those sort of things because they don't know what it's about. And if they did, the ones who might have a glimmer say, well, ain't nothing I can do. And that's a terrible thing. This country has changed a whole hell of a lot. That's for damn certain. And it hadn't been for the good. And when I look at these political things that are going on now, with Bush and this, that, and the other, and his, J.B. Bush's trying to wiggle out of that little conversation he had, I thought to myself, when I hear this, I said, do you guys think I'm an idiot that I would accept something like that? I mean, it's just unfathomable. It really is. And, you know, my life will be coming to an end pretty shortly. But, you know, I'm not going to be selfish enough to say, I don't care about those two people who will come after me.
Well, no, of course not. And that of course, is embodied in what I've had the privilege of being exposed to in real-world action, you know, namely the Seven Generations Principle. We all acknowledge that our time here is brief. I'm one of those people who thinks that it is evolutionarily way too brief.
I agree with you.
Maybe, as I've said in the past, maybe if we had a 500-year lifespan, or even a 200-year lifespan, we might be able to make fewer of the real howling boner kind of mistakes that we make. But we are what we are. And within the indigenous populations of this country, they're developed. And maybe once upon a time the European tribal cultures had it too and just abandoned it along the way. But within the indigenous cultures, there is a principle that says decisions may not be made without consideration of the impact of those decisions on the next seven generations in the future.
Oh yeah, the entire attitude now of the existing 1% is that of Louis XV. Après moi le déluge, the state will last my reign, and after that, I don't give a shit.
Right, and isn't it biblical? The old aphorism of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
That's basically it. We're just one thing of blowing it off, but that's just the attitude that prevails, and it's very unfortunate that it does. And there's one thing I wanted to add to it. I heard the comment about your one-time caller, Sergey, and I was just worried about him, and I hope he's doing better. I hope that he can get some help. I mean, I'm not asking any questions about his situation. It's none of my concern because it's involved in that location and whatever. But I can remember he used to be on your Friday night program. Then he just disappeared into the ether. And I guess it's the same young man that we're talking about. But I just want to take this opportunity to wish him the very best. And I hope that he can, you know, find some type of justice. And that's a big one, particularly in Texas.
Well, yeah, there's nothing involving law enforcement in Texas that comes to a good end.
I tell you, it's just amazing, these new centurions and you know, as far as what happened to him. But that's all I had to say, and I know you've got another caller who are waiting, so I will get off here and let you further elucidate.
Well, Jim, whatever it was you were baking, I hope it turned out nicely.
It did. A big meatloaf and also some homemade bread.
Hot diggity.
Yeah, it did. And so I had to cut the oven off and let that thing calm down. And I just wanted to, you know, drop you a line and say hello and express my own outrage at some of the stuff that you had referenced earlier in your opening of the program.
Well, don't turn it off because there's more outrage, Jim, unfortunately.
Well, that's good. Well, listen, take care and have a good evening.
All right, you as well. Take care, Jim. Be well.
Good night, sir.
Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from not too far away. It's been an absolutely gorgeous day here. There's that, well, again, stupid movie reference, Miss Congeniality, Sandra Bullock, where they ask, what is it, Miss Rhode Island? Describe for us your perfect date. Oh, I don't know, about April 29th, you know, it's not too hot, not too cold, all you need is a light jacket. This was that day, May the 14th, here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level, west by Cole, Virginia. And by the way, for those of you who hear the conversation here, and maybe you listen to other programs or whatever, and you tend to worry, I'd like to call in, but I don't know. You can, if you haven't figured it out, this is probably the easiest conversation, the easiest radio conversation you're ever going to have. And so if you've never tried, you are more than welcome to jump in. We try to have lines that are open whenever you want to participate, and you are heartily encouraged so to do. Earther pointing out, Bob, a person that visits prostitutes is not engaging in prostitution. He's just using freedom of speech in the form of money to express how much he likes to have sex with strangers on demand. See? Yeah. That's how it works now. Welcome to America, the greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever. And with that, we will go over to the Gizmo line and talk to, are you still there? Yeah. Jim Denver is with us, formerly of Louisiana State.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim.
What's up? I loved Jim's term, kiss elegant.
We discussed that one evening. That's very near perfect for things like that.
I just hit the nail on the head. The thing I was thinking about is maybe, you know, people in Wyoming and other places where the fracking and all that really groovy stuff is going on, maybe they should have to not only drink the water, the wastewater, but bathe in it.
Oh, I want them to drink it. I want them to bathe in it. I want them to cook with it. I want them to put it on their Wheaties. I want them to freeze it into ice if the shit will in fact freeze, and cool their cocktails with it.
Because that's what's coming. Maybe I'm a little bit far-sighted I can see a little bit into the future, but it's already here. It's already here. It's already happening. It's even happening here in Colorado. You know, they're fracking out here. They're fracking everywhere they can. You know, and now they're trying to do the, they're going back to the, Arctic. Where is it, Antarctica or Arctic? I get those two mixed up sometimes. They want to go drill there?
No, that's the Arctic. Yeah, the Antarctic hasn't completely melted yet. They'll get to that. But the Arctic has melted. So you can now get, or you can try. The last time they tried to drag a drilling rig up there, they wound up wrecking it on, crashing it into some rocky coastline or something like that. But, you know, once they get it in place, nothing like that will ever happen, will it? No, of course not. I mean, the Deepwater Horizon disaster in the relatively placid Gulf of Mexico when a hurricane's not blowing through it. That was a one in a million thing. Except when it's not.
Yeah, well, it's just like right now there's no hurricanes in the Gulf. Give it a couple of months, there might be a hurricane or two in the Gulf. Yeah.
Did you notice that we had our first tropical storm in the Atlantic and the hurricane season doesn't officially start until June 1?
Well, yeah, I saw that the other day on Twitter or something, and or just the weather or somewhere, and it's like, how much more evidence do you need? Then I remember seeing that thing about, I remember back in the 70s, I do remember that, where they're talking about, oh, we're going into another ice age. And then the thing is, we're not necessarily going into another ice age. We're going to extreme weather. Where this, you know, it's just like when it snowed a couple of months ago. Oh, and they say there's no, here's, you know, that congressman, I use that term loosely, Republican congressman. Here's your global warming. It's like, you stupid, pardon my French, fucking asshole. That's part of the syndrome, I would call global climate change. But, you know, you can't really talk to people about it. I found within my family, and or even anything outside the bounds of their little perfect world. You know, people. You know, and I guess when life's good, you don't think about it. You know, and like we've talked before, it's you know, we're in the declining age of empire. I wish it was something.
Well, I brought up in talking with Jim 1 this evening, you're Jim 2. In talking with Jim 1, I brought up that Bible verse. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. And that's where the eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, comes from. And what it says there is, if after the manner of men I have fought with the beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So he's not saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, is not something that's put out there as a good idea. And right. you don't have to be a Christian or buy into all the weirdness to get at what he's talking about there. He's saying that it's a position that lacks foresight.
Right. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I mean, did you just pull that off the top of your head?
I had to go and find out what verse it was. I haven't done a Southern Baptist sword drill in a very long time.
Okay. Well, that's still pretty damn good.
Generally, if it sounds pretty and flowery and it's in English, it's either Shakespeare or the Bible. And if it's really gory and blood-soaked, you can knock Shakespeare off, and, well, it's the Bible.
So, wait, you read the whole Bible?
Well, yeah.
More than once, or?
Yeah, probably twice.
Well, that's two times more than me, as I told you. But it's weird. I pick enough Bible stuff up from references from you and my boy, even Tom Hartman, and then even when I watched the 666 Club, a.k.a. 700 Club. How did 666 get to be the devil's number?
Oh.
And what if 666 didn't exist? Well, we'd have a 9 base.
Well, okay, so first, there's a lot of problems. You know, as usual. Because the numbers we recognize, you know, 6, 6, 6, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 9 are known as Arabic numerals because they invented them. Just try to even contemplate doing long division with Roman numerals, and that way lieth madness.
With a D and the I.
Right,
yeah,
and the X's and the IX and the XI. No, forget it. Although I do like watches with Roman numeral watch faces. There's just something well, there's that word again, elegant about them. At the time that Revelations was being scrawled with a sharp stick and a little pile of bat shit by John on the exile island of Patmos, he was not using the numeral 6. Conceptually, he uses the words, I presume in either Aramaic or Greek, don't remember which, for them, but in answer to your question, where does it come from?
Yeah.
It's out of Revelations, and it's part of that massive hallucination by John of Patmos. It's in, of course, chapter 13, and it says, let me call it up in the King James Version. Always got to type in that KJV. Because it's just not fun in the New Revised International Version or the Living Bible or the Let's Make English Make Sense Version. So remember, he's having a hallucination, okay? He ate the brown acid. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, which means he ain't much like a leopard. And his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, which really takes another little bite out of the leopardness. And the dragon gave him his power, there's dragons, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. See, this is the problem with hallucinations. The guy who's having the hallucinations, don't care, acid, peyote, whatever, is going, man, I see it all, I see it all. Dude, I am hearing colors! And everybody else is like, yeah, great, you're tripping your nuts off. And it just doesn't work for everybody else. They worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. They worship the beast. They say, who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, again with the blasphemies, but he can't be bothered to tell us what they are. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. And if you got, I don't know, the saints may get a decent draft, may have had a decent draft, so I'm not sure how they're going to do against the beast. So if any man have an ear, let him hear. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it's yada, yada, yada. He does great wonders. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond. There it is, verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So there what we're talking about, Jim, is numerology, because numerology is big in ancient Hebrew mysticism. You know, words mean numbers, and numbers mean letters, and letters, it gets confusing. And the next thing you know, Madonna's walking around. And that no man might, blah, blah, blah. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. Which means it's definitely not Jenny, 867-5309, because it's the number of a man. And his number is 666. 3 score, 3 times 20 is 60. So 666. And hence 666, and that means about as much as, I don't know, trying to read Led Zeppelin lyrics in your fucking oatmeal.
Yeah.
What it means is that John of Patmos was hallucinating his tiny mind right out of his weird little skull.
Yeah, from what I heard, some of those herbs say that were kind of hallucinogenic. The time, you know, the stuff they carry with them and all that and stuff. But here's my, I just had a great idea for the Republicans. Why don't they just go back to, I don't know, around 480 or whatever, and just make everything like that? I mean, avoid all tech, you know, just almost like the, what's that religious cult? The so many, the ones that refuse to use modern technology except for the horse and buggy. I mean, if you want to carry that to extreme, well, what put the horse in the drag of having to use him? I mean, that's an advancement over, I guess they're trying to get away back to the pure days when it was just man, earth, and God. And maybe I think too logically, too pregnant.
Well, yeah, that's yeah. You try to apply that to religion, and you're gonna be a blither, just a pretty quick. But consider, you know, all area codes in the U.S. are 3-digit numbers, right?
Right.
Can you imagine?
Is there a 666 number?
No, there isn't, and you know why?
They people wouldn't put up with it.
Well, they'd refuse it, and there'd have to be congressional hearings, and evangelical fundamentalist evangelicists would stand in the pulpit and scream and accuse whoever lived. I mean, for God's sakes, there's already a jackass out there who has stated unequivocally, mind you, that the Amtrak crash was caused by the homosexuals. I shit thee not.
Well, that's obvious. I knew that, you know. And the lesbians and the bisexuals and the transsexuals and those of, quote unquote, the straight people who have their starts in the head. You know, that's obvious to me. I mean, that's a given, you know. In fact, you know, I might have to try and get into Pat Robinson and our channel. Is he still sick?
I don't know, but his boy Gordon is so not ready for prime time.
Oh, I know. I think once Jesus kills Pat, that's what it is. I mean, your days are numbered. So basically, God, aka Jesus, although God, but God and Jesus, when we've kind of gone through this, they're two different things, but yet they're the same, right? Is that the song and dance?
Yeah, I think you're. And well, yeah.
So then he already knows what's going to happen before. Then they go predestinate. There you go with Calvinism. That's Calvinism. Yeah, it's kind of simple to me, but sometimes I have moments of simple-mindedness. And on that, I'm going to let you go. Got another caller. Okay, thanks for your enlightenment.
Well, somebody has to do it, right? I mean,
it's a dirty job. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Check you later.
All right, Jim. You take care. Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from Denver, formerly of Louisiana Stan. Okay, I got to find it now because I've been asked. This won't take but a second. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, hold on. Wonkat had the story. It is titled, "Who Caused That Amtrak Crash?" Oh, just the gays. So, let's see. Sure. Let me see if I can. It'll just. Oh, there it is. There it is. Of Chuck C. Johnson. Sadly, many of you who know about the seamier sides of the internet will know who Chuck C. Johnson is. And he immediately jumped out to publish an allegation that the Amtrak engineer Brandon Bastian was a, quote, gay activist who previously worked at Target as a cashier. And then, of course, there's from the American Family Association, Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, there's Sandy Rios. Yeah, this is, well, we're going to the audio for this one. I'm sorry, we got it. This is Sandy Rios from her American Family Association radio program. Yeah. Get the hockey puck, for Christ's sakes, please.
Now, here's the part that I really don't think that you'll read anywhere else. The Daily Mail just doesn't know, I guess, well enough to kind of edit things like this. But Bastian is a gay rights activist who previously lived in San Francisco before moving to New York. In 2012, he was interviewed by the Midtown Gazette, which covers part of Manhattan. During the campaign for marriage equality, he said, "It's kind of insulting to have to beg people for my right to marry. I feel like we shouldn't even have to have this fight." Now, I am not saying that, I am not inferring to those of you that are gay rights activists and who like to monitor the show, I'm not inferring that this accident happened because he was gay, but I...
Except for the fact that she just said it was. I mean, but she's not inferring... That's true. She is not inferring. She is straight up accusing, you know, j'accuse.
I do think it's an interesting part of the story, and you can bet it will be edited.
It's an interesting part of the story. You know, I was just saying to my girlfriends down at the shop the other day, if an interesting monster can't have an interesting hairdo, I don't know what the world's coming to. Oh, that'll never hold. You're going to need a permanent end. It's interesting. Well, if it's not an inference, but it's interesting, what the f*** is it?
Edited out. I would say this. I know of at least one situation, and I don't know if this relates to Brandon in any way, but when people are...
Yeah, Brandon, because he's her buddy.
Going through some confusion that has to do with the very core of who they are.
Really? I thought he was already gay. He was confused now? They've been breathing the pure CO2 again, I think.
Like, for instance, someone I know who was a pilot for a very large airline started taking hormone shots to change genders. And
right, because Sandy Rios really knows a transgendered person. Anybody believe that? Because I don't. Yeah, well, see, Jim only thinks he's trying to have a quiet little evening at home. Subject line. Say what? What? Did he put Crisco or Love Lube on the rails, on those rails that were older than this rider? Well played, Jim. Well played. Hell, those rails may have carried Abraham Lincoln's train from Philadelphia to Baltimore and into Washington, D.C. in 1861. So, wait a minute. When last we were listening to Sandy Rios, she was talking about having a transgendered friend who was on hormones. Hold on.
People are going through some confusion that has to do with the very core of who they are, like, for instance... Someone I know who was a pilot for a very large airline started taking hormone shots to change genders and put his entire plane at risk because he had an emotional, angry outburst to something that happened. And he was suspended for a very long time and then reinstated. So I don't know, but I think it's something to be discussed. And I think it's a factor, and I'm
listen to the Teach the Controversy. It's something to be discussed. I mean, we have no evidence whatsoever that anybody's sexuality had anything to do with that Amtrak crash. I mean, the train was going 100 miles an hour to make up time for the fact that it would have to lay over on a siding until hell froze over to let a coal train go past if they didn't make up the time and get back on schedule. And the rails were, you know, old. Well, they were older than God and poorly maintained. And, well, you know, the Republicans love to cut the Amtrak budget, but gay!
Outing, you'll hear it in...
Isn't that interesting?
...anywhere else. But that doesn't make it any easier. I'm sure that Brian Bosnian is, wherever he is grieving. He's got to be. Being responsible for the death of... Well, unless some mechanical failure caused the problem, he was clocked at 160 miles per hour on that curve, twice as fast as the law allowed.
He has to feel bad. But did you notice the little dodge there? That she, I mean, unless there was a mechanical failure or something, because she just realized that she had just slimed a non-public persona and might get her ass sued. But no worries. If she got her ass sued, she would go into court and she'd say, "But Jesus." Note coming in from brother Deacon Asa. Wait, Bob. Andreas Lubitz was transgendered? Now, she didn't say that. She just has a friend. She pays him very well. And did you notice she only said he toward the end? So we're not talking... it doesn't matter. Sandy Rios is a bigot, so... She would never use the proper gender pronoun for... No. So she was talking about a guy who was driven wild by the estrogen. I thought testosterone did that. I give up. Hey, let's go talk at 2 minutes past the hour. And remember, we try to raise $200 every evening. And we appreciate the kind help we got very much from Joyce. And from Margaret, thank you very, very much. And hopefully we can keep on top of everything. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 40 at 5, etc. And if you care to help keep things on the air. Let's go talk to our buddy, the Angry Indian. Go Angry. Wait, wrong button. Right, there you are.
Well, I don't know. I kind of just walked in. Give me up to speed on what the hell is going on. I heard Joni Ernst. I heard LSD mentioned. Amtrak, Republican, conservative, Tory. You know, what's going on?
God, you just distilled 10 years of broadcasting.
Because it's all insanity, and we all know what it is, and no one wants to come out and say that, because then the emperor has no clothes. And then people have to take responsibility for their own country. They have to take responsibility for claiming that they live in a democracy, and when they go and wreck other countries and liquidate people and what have you, that this is done for democracy, for freedom of speech, you know, for all of it. And then you can quote the black guy, very non-threatening black man they sent to the UN not too long ago to say that, yeah, you know, police brutality in the United States is really bad, and we have to recommit ourselves to, you know, treating everybody in the United States as a human being. I mean, I'm African, but hey, it doesn't matter. And the president's African, and it doesn't matter. And I've got all kinds of blacks and Spanish-speaking Indian people, you know, all kinds of folks, you know, Asians, you know, all kinds of people working in the federal government.
Angry, if we have to recommit to treating everyone equally, doesn't that mean that everyone has to have received unequal treatment?
Precisely. You know.
I get a gold star. I get a... Yay me! I figured it out.
And what is this gay pilots and suicide? Is this fellow that killed all those people?
Well, first of all, he's imaginary. The pilot that she knew that went on hormones, that had an emotional breakdown and started coming apart, and had to be made to stop piloting and stuff. He exists only in the thin gray settlings between her ears that pass for brains. Okay, let's just get that out of the way.
Oh, okay.
Because right-wingers just make shit up on the fly.
All the time. All the time. You know, I mean, like it's a chore. You know, they must sit around and think of things to goddamn sick. You know, I had dinner with
another couple. No, look, it's hard. Doing right-wing radio is hard freaking work. That's why they make so much money at it. You've got to sit around and drop acid and abuse prescription narcotics. And all kinds of have a drinking problem, and do all kinds of crazy shit just to come up with the lunatic fringe theories that are the stock in trade of right wing radio. Compared to what I'm doing, I got it easy. I just report facts and you know let them speak for themselves.
Well, that's all you really have to do. But I was raised by conservatives, and I disagree with them on just about everything. But they weren't stupid.
Stupid sells angry. Oh God.
Well, I mean, we talk about it in one degree or another when we get together. But yeah, you know, insanity has become a fetish. You know, and if you're not, for those of you who are into religion, there's an old Sufi story about a man who lived in a village where people started going nuts. And they found out it was, you know, connected to the water. So he put water away. He had another source. But a lot of folks, you know, when they ran out of water, they went to the well and went nuts too. So then they became normal. Right? So then eventually, out of pure loneliness, he willingly drank from the same well. Just so he didn't have to be alone. Because everybody then became crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I said this before. Quentin Crisp was very clear about this. Being normal means having the same diseases as those about you. So if you sit around and someone says, hey, you know, God is forever and Jesus is coming back and there's going to be a big ladder and there's going to be, you know, whatever, and everybody just goes, because they're afraid not to, you know, I was getting ready to say, my wife and I had dinner with another couple not too long ago. You know, the wife is from Europe. She wants to go home. She doesn't want to be here anymore. She thinks that her child is being taught some really weird-ass stuff in the school system, in the public school system.
If you can... No, look. Yeah. If you can leave here, for sake, go!
Well, I know a lot of Americans who do work overseas who are not coming back. They're just not coming back.
You think you know, if I had an opportunity, I would not do this show in exile?
Well, yeah. But you see, but one of the things, though, about that is, you know, this place is bad, and it's on the skids, but it's not totally goddamn lost yet. I'm saying that as somebody of color, as somebody who's had his land taken, all right? It's not totally fucked up. It can be goddamn saved, but people have to be willing to stand up and be the one who doesn't fucking salute Hitler, and to be willing to catch a beatdown, and to be willing to fucking deal with what the fuck will be coming down the pipe.
And you are asking a lot from people who lose their shit if the cable goes out, okay? I mean, I'm not barking at you, but...
Well, yeah, of course not. No, but look, we say in the black community, who are the 85%? Who are the 10%? Who are the 5%? 85% of the population of this fucking planet, regardless of their ethnicity and nationality, just go along. They just go along. 10% of the fucking planet knows that the majority of the fucking people here can be either pushed or threatened into doing what the fuck it is they want to get some sort of comfort. And then there's another 5% that's like, wait a motherfucking minute. You are corrupt. You need to fucking wake up. And they get persecuted. And that, you know, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear this shit, but that's a formula that you can put...
Well, no, I mean, you're not... You're, I mean, you're... We had the stories in the filibuster in the first hour. Angry, you know, you're a perfectly normal, decent human being who's concerned about a giant oil pipeline that stands to ruin the drinking water of the middle of the entire country and ramp up. You know, we've already passed 400 parts per million. And it stands to ruin the planet. So you're trying to think about ways to peacefully protest that pipeline, and the FBI opens a damn dossier on you.
Well, look, they sent a fucking letter to Dr. King telling him to commit suicide within 21 days, or we're going to out you as a phony. Oh, well, that was Hoover. No. That was Hoover's FBI. You know, we can talk all day. I mean, there was just several articles published recently, and there were two others just last year, I remember, where it turns out that your fingerprints can be doctored, and that people are sitting in prison right now because they knew full well that they didn't goddamn do this, and this shit went through the Bureau. And the Bureau said, oh, yeah, this is a match, and then they fucking redo it in an independent lab and find out that there is no goddamn match. These DAs are doing everything they possibly fucking can, and the courts, to keep these cases from being, you know, DNA, you know, having this shit checked. They've been doing this for decades. Now, we just saw a fucking case here with General David goddamn Petraeus, and I'm going to fucking talk about him, because this is somebody that will fucking go through your goddamn mail. I know he's gone through motherfucking my goddamn email. This conversation, every fucking thing, General fucking Petraeus, who gave away national fucking security secrets to his chick. Now, if whoever thinks this sounds sexist, whatever. This is supposed to be the hard man, the general. When I first started reading about him, they couldn't stop talking about how many degrees he had.
Oh.
They couldn't stop talking about how many stars he had.
And gave away national security secrets.
Over a piece of ass. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel about it. Now, we got Jeffrey Sterling, a black man who works for the CIA, law degree, all of that, an officer, who turns around, had previously sued the CIA, sued the agency for racial discrimination, turns around and speaks to James Risen, and now he's doing 4 years.
Yeah.
And there's
John Kiriakou, and yeah.
Yeah, and Kim, who just got out a few days ago. In the meantime, Petraeus, his fine is less than his average speaking fee, and he still has speaking engagements.
He also still has his pension.
Yeah, now how the hell does that make any sense? That's supposed to be the spy game, right?
No, man. Come on, Angry. Man, you've read Animal Farm. All pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal than other pigs.
Yeah. And, you know,
I mean, it sucks when you stare it in the eye and it stares back and you go, real.
Well, see, that's the thing, you know, and we might as well bring something else up. You remember that cat that used to call in from Oz, from Australia, Blue, they used to call Malloy back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago, and they had that fight, and that was the last time Malloy had contacted me, because I asked him, why did you come down on Blue like that? And then his spiel was, because this needs to be rehashed. You know, his spiel was, well, you know, when people insult my, well, not insult, but when people criticize my country, I don't want to hear this, that, and the other. Well, see, that's the problem with Americans. They criticize every fucking buddy. Every fucking buddy. You don't treat your women right. You got Indian women missing right here on the goddamn, both borders, between Canada and the U.S. and the U.S. and Mexico, and there's indigenous women missing. In the fucking thousands. And when they find them, they do what they do to Sister Cindy Gladue. She gets killed by a goddamn John, and they bring her vagina literally into the courtroom to say that he didn't do as much damage as the coroner said that he did. They couldn't just bring in the paper file, right? They had to bring in her actual vagina. That's how they feel about Indian people. But see, hey, let's talk about women's rights in Afghanistan. Let's talk about women's rights over here. Australia doesn't do this right. You know, Mexico is failing in this. This country's bad. Iran is doing this. What's happening here? So, nobody here in the United States wants to be criticized for any goddamn thing. nobody, black, white, and whatever. And I'm
well, I guess I'm an I guess to that extent, I'm a certain amount of an exception to the rule, because
well, some of us are. We have to be. We have to be. There's no point in having, you know, rules and ideas of how things are supposed to go if when somebody says, well, hey, you know, this is off-piste. Oh, no, fuck you. Say it again and we'll beat the shit out of you. I mean, well, what? That's the United States and then it's democracy when you go do whatever the hell someplace else? This is the biggest problem that the United States has. Not willing to accept criticism for anything. Nationally, personally, this ugly subculture we've developed here of war games and violence. I mean, what was it, Grand Theft Auto, where if you attack a woman, you get points? This is ridiculous. And then we have this Joni Ernst. Who the hell is she anyway to make these kinds of goddamn statements? She's nobody. Ted Cruz is another freak. Ron Paul is sick as hell.
Oh, and hey, extra bonus points if you've already seen this one, Angry. The life support system for a porn stash, John Bolton, is considering a presidential run. I got a note from Ron in Raleigh before airtime today, and I went, really, what? And
he was talking that weeks ago.
But I guess he's getting closer and closer and closer to it. Ron said earlier today, the clown car is now full. He said, while eating my cereal before work this morning, I heard a bit of news that led me to believe that the pig-licking clown car is filled to capacity. What was that news, you may ask? The article stated that John Pornstash Bolton has thrown his oversized hat into the presidential ring. Could somebody please tell me, and this is, you know, just a beautiful moment with Ron, could someone please tell me what constituency this pillock is supposed to serve? My guess is old John sees all the cash sloshing around in the right-wing dark moneyosphere, and he decided to get in on the grift. I am now really looking forward to the repig-licking debates. They should be unparalleled in the crazy on display. And, you know, that all runs side by side. I had a rather lengthy clip from John Ellis Bush's visit to Liberty University, Jerry Falwell U., to deliver their commencement address last weekend, at which they were not at all impressed. I mean, you know, Jesus, the clapping was lower than in a golf tournament. But he's wandered into another little bit of fun. Somebody asked him the other day, did you see this? Somebody asked John Ellis Bush the other day, if knowing what we know now, and that's important, that condition precedent, if knowing what we know now, or knowing what we know now, would you have invaded Iraq? See why that's important? Knowing what we know now, would you have invaded Iraq? And John Ellis Bush said, absolutely, and so would Hillary.
Oh, yeah.
But it's that knowing what we know now part. And of course, they're backpedaling for all they're worth, and they're in sweat condition, alpha spin control. And well, you know, Governor Bush misheard the question. Yeah, sure he did. No, the fact of the matter is, he's a damn Bush, and he has no compunction against shedding goddamn oceans of blood. If he feels like it, if there's a dollar to be had out of it,
it's not his. So what does he care?
Right, it doesn't matter.
It's not his. You know, these are poor kids that are trying to pay the rent, like Lori Paestoa was. She was trying to take care of her family. Yeah, there might have been some, you know, well, yeah, you know, this is my country and this is the best, whatever. Yeah, because we all grow up saying that. I used to say it.
Yeah, Jessica Lynch. Smart young woman from Palestine, West Virginia, goddess of irony, was busy that day too. Because you can see her just getting taken into the custody of the Iraqis, trying to get her to the hospital to save her life. Ma'am, where are you from? Palestine? You are not! But yeah, she's from Palestine, West Virginia, which is in Wirt County. And the only reason she joined the National Guard or the Army, I can't remember if she was regular Army or not, I think she was, but the only reason she joined up was because coming out of high school in Palestine, West Virginia, proud graduate of Wirt County High School in Elizabeth, West Virginia, where they do, or for a long time, did not have working toilets in the courthouse, Her only hope was to get into the poverty draft, so she could come home, use the GI Bill, go to college, and be a teacher. That's all she wanted to be. Now, by God, in Finland, well, you want to be a teacher, you're going to bust your ass, and you're going to be among the highest paid professionals in the country. In Merca, if you want to be a teacher, and you happen to come from a little working class family in Wirt County, West Virginia, well, fuck it. You can't be a teacher. You need to get in the poverty draft and go and go participate in Dim Leaders' war against a bunch of brown people who never raised a finger to you.
Yeah, and they want to push this on Cuba. Right? How many teachers, doctors, educators, librarians, dance instructors, poets, writers, you know, that they support that. They support humanity. They support their scientists. There's a lung cancer vaccine or some kind of treatment that they've had over there for a while. Now it's coming over here, right? But they want to go and push this nonsense over there. They've already ruined education every place they've gone. Libya used to pay for education. I mean, they paid you to go to school. And if you got married, they paid for that. They backed you up. If you went to school overseas, they paid for it and your expenses. Now, they're selling women and children in Libya. This is what the UN says. This is what Human Rights Watch says. Where's the West? The slave trade has never gone away, but it has expanded under all of this chaos that is going on in Western Asia and Africa. So, yeah, I believe that the United States, like every other goddamn country, is up to being criticized. And until people here start being honest with their fucking selves, that this shit is going off the fucking rails.
Yeah, but you know what? I despair of even using a word like until angry. I mean, what are the chances of that?
Well, as a black man, I take. I mean, would you step out the fucking
would
door?
Would you take a $20 bill to Harris in Reno and lay it down on America coming to its senses in the next 20 years?
Well, if I got $20, it's got to go to a bill. And see, and that's the other
problem. Work with me. It's a hypothetical.
No, of course I wouldn't. But what I'm saying is that that's one of the problems. Because people are in such survival goddamn mode, they can't do anything. If you fuck around and say anything or lose your fucking job, you're done. You know, even if you have relatives, everybody I know is skint. Even the people I know with money are like, yeah, you know, we're kind of watching it this year. You know, we're not going to Italy this year. And it's like, well, too bad for you, you know. Because every year this guy goes. And he's like, I'm not doing it this year. You know, I just can't. That's the main reason. And those who are really on the left, I'm talking about real Marxists and socialists, not these fucking flunkies, the real ones. They've been economically pointing this bullshit out for the longest. That they keep everybody on starvation goddamn wages, that they keep you fucked up like this because you're too messed up to do anything. But the problem about that is, and this is what always fucking happens, they let shit get to such a goddamn point where we just build more jails, or we just get more cops, we just have more cameras, more security, this, that, and the other. At some point, the bag is going to burst. And it's not going to be nice. Just like we saw the riots that went down in Baltimore. Yeah, there were a couple of jerks that were down there looking for fucking trouble. They might have started it. It could have been police provocateurs. I don't goddamn know. But I know at some motherfucking point, you can't keep doing this shit, and people are not going to be mad and not think. Because when you're angry and when you're in love, you don't fucking think.
Well, that...
And people be...
Go ahead. And look, well, what was it, last week I had that brilliant... And frankly, it should probably get a Pulitzer, that brilliant Baltimore Sun article about the life of Freddie Gray as a child, when he had just mind-bending, truly shocking levels of lead in his system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. You can't do anything.
And the fact that the slumlord whose home he got that exposure. That he has been sued hundreds of times because he never bothered to remediate any of the lead. Look, you know, I don't care who threw the first bottle, who threw the first rock, cop or citizen. I don't care. There's a, because there is a back, there's a backlog, there's a backstory, there is, there are, there's that phrase again, conditions precedent to any time any of this erupts in the United States of America. And it's comprised of injustice, hatred, bigotry, economic oppression, economic appropriation, and yet, you know, the precious little people over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda go,
we don't understand why they burn down their own communities.
Well, I don't understand why those white kids were defending a motherfucking enabler for a fucking pedophile in Pennsylvania. When they did the paternal riots, two fucking reporters were beat up. Their goddamn newsman was turned over. They set fire to goddamn garbage bins, and nobody was fucking arrested. They even threatened the police that night, and nobody was arrested. Nobody was arrested. Not one arrest. Not one. How about the pumpkin riots? How many people were hurt during that?
Or the surf festival.
Man, I can go on and on, you know, because I've watched it. Oh, well, they're young. This is what I heard. This is as a black man sitting, living in a white house at that time. Well, they're this young. And I said, wow, you didn't say that when we were talking about the L.A. riots not too long ago. Oh, well, that was different. They just had no right. Oh, so white guys have a right then. And that was the end of the evening, you see. Because there's the double fucking standard here. And the double standard is stupid. And we all know that the fucking thing is there. And it doesn't mean that people of color are not innocent. Hey, you know, we're all fucked up in a lot of goddamn ways. But who's pushing the buttons? It's not anybody that looks like me. At least, you know, not for the most part. You know, and even then with Obama. Obama's representative of everything that's goddamn going on. We got black police officers now that are banding up to defend the cops that killed Freddie Gray.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So it's okay for us, we're black, to do this. Because once we put on this uniform, that's it. You motherfuckers are the peons. You know cops. I fucking know cops. I got cops in my family. And that's their fucking attitude. That's their attitude. And when I ask my
cousin
about
it... It's in the inherent nature of the us of the against them philosophy by which they are trained.
By which they are trained.
They are not trained to be part, to see themselves as part of the community, but are instead trained to see themselves as set out, separate, and apart from the community to be the arbiters of community standards of behavior.
And what makes things worse is, and I said this to somebody, and we don't speak anymore, but I asked him, I said, you know, you've been making a lot of Jack Bauer quotes. I said, I watched 24 just so I can, you know, see what's going on. I'm like, why are you acting like this? And he goes, well, he's a good American. I said, man, that's a fucking character. And you know, and the reason I did that with him is that, you know, I've been hearing from various people who know, you know, folks who work in law enforcement who say, yeah, when Jack Bauer came on television, that became the standard model.
Oh, it was – no, look, the 24 was put on television when it was put on television – for very specific purposes.
Reasons, yeah.
And those purposes were to reinforce a rise of, well, I mean, I if people get tired of hearing me say fascism, I'm sorry. I don't have another word. I don't have another word for it. Right. By the way, breaking news courtesy of Sparky, just in case anybody, you'll want to know this. I want to make a correction. John Bolton has decided that the people of the United States of America are not worthy of his services as President of the United States, so he will not, after all, be running, which means, working back to Ron's note, angry, that he ran up his trial balloon and nobody brought him a bag of money.
Well, who the hell wants that somebody as a president who has a reputation for chasing people down the fucking halls of whatever goddamn agency he's working for at the time? Whatever administration, and banging on their doors and demanding that they sign or pass shit that he's trying to fucking push through. Now, I haven't brought up his personal fucking life. You know, the fact that he goes to swinging clubs and shit, hey, man, this is America. That's cool. See, I'm okay with real freaks because real freaks don't fuck with people that don't want to be bothered with what they're into. But I heard that he forced his wife. This is what she says, that he would bully her and force her to go to these goddamn sex parties with him. You know, and this type of thing. So they were really worried about that bullshit coming out, because it's common knowledge in the press rooms that I fucking have been able to get into. So no, they can't have him up there. And he's known for saying really stupid fucking things, that Cuba has nuclear weapons, or Al-Qaeda is in Cuba, you know, or whatever terrorist group of the moment or whatever the fuck is right at your door. You know, that's John fucking Bolton. So, by, you know, whoever's going to get in is probably going to hire that motherfucker anyway. I mean, he's never been out of work since what?
Just look at the proposed national security team that John Ellis Bush is.
John Wilkes is close enough, man. Shit.
I don't know why it's just. I can't stop myself.
Traitors.
But look at the national security team that he's putting together. I mean, you know, meet the old boss, same as the new boss. It's the same damn gang of war criminals.
John Wilkes Booth could not accept the fact that the fucking Confederacy got their asses kicked. All right? Couldn't accept that. So he decided that he was going to fucking change history. And like most of these right-wing fucking morons, especially the ones that waved that goddamn treasonous fucking Confederate flag, after he did what he did to Lincoln, he jumps off the goddamn balcony, or after he stabs somebody, jumps off the fucking balcony and does this grand, raises his fist, you know, down with tyrants and all that shit. See, all of these motherfuckers are living in a movie. And see, Bob, you don't waste your time with this kind of shit, but ask Tom Hardman or somebody like me who actually sits and tries to talk to these fools. And I invite them on my goddamn show, and they never fucking show up. They talk a lot of shit before we get to it, pre-production, and then when I say, okay, well, this is the day, they don't fucking show up. When you try to talk to these bastards, they act like they alone, that America needs them individually. Just like Hitler. He felt that Germany, his Austrian ass, that Germany needed him. That without him, Germany would just fall apart. And when you speak to these white supremacists, when you speak to these Klansmen, they act like they are the Republic.
Well, right, because they live in a bubble. And
they live in a fucking bubble.
And they talk and they just talk amongst themselves, and everything is a conspiracy against them. And it turns out they're the ones engaging in a conspiracy. It was just a couple of days ago here. I got the story right in front of me. Story goes back to May 8th. A Jewish community center in Boulder was sent a packet with white powder in it. The synagogue and the Jewish community center. The detectives in Boulder have taken one Jeffrey Klinkel into custody. Two counts of felony menacing, explosive hoax, and interference with a school facility. And he, of course, it was during the Passover holiday. The Jewish community center had to be evacuated. It turned out that it was, you know, cornstarch, white flour, something like that. But he included a piece of loose leaf notebook paper, and it was full of powder, and the word enemies had been scrawled across it, along with the sentence, "This goyim is enjoying the blood of her enemies for Passover."
And, you know, that happens at least once a week in this country, which really bugs me on why so many American Jews are more worried. They're not worried about the Klan, and they're not worried about white supremacists. You know, they want to work with them to defend Israel.
Well, and the Israelis and the right wing in this country are having a shit hemorrhage right now because Pope Frank decided to recognize Palestine as a state.
Yeah, well, that's just too fucking bad, isn't it? That's just too bad. I mean, there's a lot I can say about the Pope. I mean, he has been pointing out, you know, I mean, look, if you're female, you shouldn't be bothered with this religious shit anyway, because it's all anti-you, you know. But he's been pointing out a lot of things, like, you know, predator priests and what have you. And, you know, this is a good move. But they don't like the Catholics anyway. So it doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't really matter. This is just one more reason for them to have more Catholic jokes. I know, because I've heard them. you know, they can go ahead. But the Israelis, you know, that they will work with any fascist, because they are fascists, the Zionists, you know, at least the revisionist Zionists certainly are fascists. And, you know, Anders Breivik was a goddamn neo-Nazi. But
let's understand that real quick. Because I want people to, I want some clarification on this. Because to say that the Israeli government is fascist in nature is not to say that one has animus against Jewish people. It is not.
Nazi fascist.
It is not to say that one is anti-Semitic.
Nope.
It is. I mean, it's like looking over and saying that house is painted green. Fascism is a social political phenomenon that is identifiable and quantifiable and qualifiable. And so when we say that the Israeli government is fascist, it's because it is.
Look, I got black people who are still pissed with me because I've identified in my writings, and I got another one if I ever fucking get it done, Idi Amin was a fascist. Mugabe is a fascist. He didn't start out that way, but that's what he's doing. And, you know, people, you know, black and white are like, how can you say that? You know, because there's only Hitler. You know, I'm like, no.
Well, that's what I said to Jim earlier, that we make this horrible, horrible mistake of thinking that certain things appear only certain ways with certain attributes, and if they don't line up one-to-one, it isn't that.
Yeah, that's wrong.
You know, if you're going to be fascist, everybody has to goose-step. If you're going to be fascist, everybody has to have snappy secret police uniforms. If you're going to be fascist, you got to have some idiot with a bad mustache standing behind a microphone hollering, Haben Sie Gott, Haben Geworten sein! And,
yeah, but see, but a lot. Go ahead.
And it ain't true, and that's what makes it so insidious.
Yeah, but one of the problems with that too, it's not the problem, but it's a layer of it, is Europocentrism. You know, the xenophobia that only white people are smart enough to be fascist. That we will not say that Baby Doc was fascist, as was his father, Papa Doc, in that little, you know, totally fucked up and maligned country. Haiti was fascist as hell. Zimbabwe is fascist as hell. You know, I mean, there are areas in Southeast Asia, but Burma, that is
Singapore, fascist.
Singapore,
please.
You know.
And you know what? In Singapore, the trains run on time. People are perfectly well behaved in public. They will cane your ass for chewing gum. And they're a model to the rest of the world for an orderly civilization. You get order, you know. It's baked into fascism. You get order.
Well, look, I mean, in many ways, you know, as a statistician I used to know, he said that, you know, fascism works on paper. But when he sought to deal with human beings, it's not so cool anymore, you know. Because, you know, he was, you know, getting into, you know, economics, and he was like, you know, it does work from the businessman's perspective. From the upper class perspective, but the fact is you have to really malign the people that are beneath you in order for it to work.
Right, and you have to have a means of making sure that nobody sees the people that you are shitting on in order to maintain your fascist authority and supremacy.
Yeah, because the average citizen will say, well, wait a goddamn minute, that's wrong, and they would do something about it. So here comes force, here comes the jackboot. Here comes the truncheon. Here comes the chains. Here comes the detention center. Torture. Death. Because that is how they keep people in line. Now, like I said, Jeffrey Sterling here, he's going to do 4 years for trying to defend his country. This is a black man who was facing racism in the agency, but still felt that he owed us something better than what the hell they were doing. John Kerouac thought that he owed us something better. You know, Chelsea Manning thought that she owed us something better. And like I say to my wife, and I'm redundant about this, and no, I've never served, but I do feel this goddamn way. If you're going to take a young person and put them in fucking uniform, support them. And when they come, you know, meaning you don't send them where you don't have to fucking send them. And when they get fucked up, you fucking take care of them. Now show me where that's happening in this government. You know, it isn't. And it didn't happen under the Nazis or under Mussolini either. We are looking at democratic fascism, and nobody wants to admit it. We're going along with it.
No, because if we were to admit it, we'd have to. One, if you admit it, you admit you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if you admit you have a problem, then it becomes incumbent to try to solve it.
Right. And how many?
And when you try to, and when you try to solve the problems of fascism internally, stuff gets real in a real hurry.
Yeah, stuff gets ugly. You know, because like I was talking to somebody about the, I think you and I have even talked about him, Kim Philby. He was the British spy who died in the 80s.
Right, yeah.
Who was working for the KGB for all those years. And a lot of people are like, oh, he was a fucking traitor. I'm like, well, he was, to British interests. He certainly was. But do you understand anything about why he did what he did? When he was 19, now remember, his father was an intelligence man as well. But when he was 19, he went to Austria and watched the fascists take over. Now, they didn't do anything to him because he was British and held a British passport. But he watched what they did.
He certainly saw plenty of people getting on a train.
He helped a lot of communists escape. And, you know, that was why he was approached by the KGB to work for them. But the point was, is that, you know, when you understand why a lot of those young people from the upper classes did what they did in terms of working for the KGB, it was because they felt that Britain was standing around and watching it. Because they knew, like Philby knew, because they were all upper class, that the upper classes in Britain did not want war with Germany. They were willing to join Germany to do in the rest of Europe. This is common knowledge to anyone who's ever done any real history on this. The upper classes, Churchill was like, we got to fight this motherfucking Hitler. And everybody else was like, do we really? Isn't there another way? Can't we talk to them first? And Hitler was like, he's a fucking problem. Stalin was like, we got to do something about that little motherfucker. No, the British government, the French government, all like, oh, no, we can talk to him. You know, and we can work things out. They didn't trust their own government because they felt that, you know, those who were really in control of the power would not really, they would, you know, go to war with Germany to defend the island, but they were not really against the Nazis on principle. And we had to look, was it the Bush family that helped build up the goddamn Nazi machine?
Sure.
DuPont here, Ford Motor Company. You know, Ford Motors was reprinting the goddamn protocols at Elder's Design in his own fucking newspaper.
Yeah, what was that? The
Dearborn Independent.
The Dearborn Independent. Yeah, I don't know why I wanted to say
You know, so it. When we have somebody like John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee, that son of a bitch, they can go up there and say, starve, but then talk about Jesus. And we're not all trying to condemn this man and have him taken off of TV. And anybody else like him, yeah, at that point, if in a democracy, we're responsible. Because we're letting it get this goddamn far. We're not holding these people to account. Should we get mad at the people who are hourlies that we have to deal with, you know, those who deal with the public. But we are not really condemning them. Well, I mean, how many cops are they busting for beating on their wives? For raping women? For threatening the boyfriends and ex-husbands of the chicks that they're fucking with and what have you. This is out of control. It's really out of control. When the B cop can do this and decide, well, come on, you got a goddamn warden in Louisiana. They got Albert Woodfox down there, 40 fucking years in solitary. This is, nobody else on earth has anyone in solitary for 40 fucking years. What was his crime? He became a Black Panther Party member in the prison system. And because he became radicalized, because he refused to renounce the Black Panther Party, he's still sitting in a goddamn cell in America. Because the warden said, I'm not going to release him. He's been cleared for release 3 times already. I'm not going to release him until he renounces the Black Panther Party. He's got members of his own fucking staff that are members of the Klan. They just got 3 Klansmen who are corrections officers for putting a hit on a black inmate. Two Florida cops were fired for being members of the Klan. But nobody knows what to do, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what to do. The UN is right over there.
Oh,
right
I could actually bring a person on. He's a personal friend who could give you an inside story to Aryan white supremacy, gangs inside prisons, you know, because he's had occasion to investigate this stuff up close and personal in the course of a law practice. And it is horrifying.
It's nasty. And here's the thing. They make up less than like 8% of the entire prison population from coast to coast. But they're responsible for more than 20% of the murders. And every time they drag them into court, oh, well, we got to drop the case because, you know, the feds made a mistake here. Oops, we goofed. We can't do this. Oh, sorry. Oh, we don't know. Is he really a member of a gang? Oh, we don't know. You know, there's like, I don't know how many goddamn white supremacist gangs now. You know, used to just be a couple, you know, since the 60s when they first started segregating things. But now it's out of hand. I mean, all of this ethnic bullshit is out of hand. It's totally fucking out of hand. And Obama is not helping any goddamn thing because he's not doing a fucking thing. He's not saying anything other than, you know, black people got to stop getting mad. You know, he's not really calling these cops out on what the fuck they're doing. While he's, you know...
Well, that was the whole point, Angry, behind my observation a week or so ago that, you know, And I'm not just trying to be knee-jerk on this, but when I hear white folks who are deeply entrenched and indebted to and the power structure talking about how we need criminal justice reform, no, we need to rethink the entire concept. We need to scrap what we've got and rebuild. You know. Here's the first thing. How about? And of course, if this news was released, Corrections Corporation of America's stock would fall through the damn floor, and it'd be a penny stock in a day. How about we turn loose every single individual doing any kind of time for anything related to cannabis?
Man. I'm not
one of those love your brother Christians. I acknowledge there are some rotten ass examples of humanity in the world, and we can have a conversation that can go for a long damn time about how they got that way. But they got that way.
They got that way, yeah. So
given the fact, and this is on us, you know, I mean, you know who us are when I say that. This is on us. We sent them. We sent them to criminal university, and they got out after 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years with, you know, what would be the equivalent of a bachelor's degree. Then they came out, and because they had gotten their bachelor's in criminal conduct, they reoffended and got sent back for a master's. And they got out a little bit more, and they came back and they reoffended, and then they're going in for their PhD. I mean, that's all the prison industrial complex system is a means for perpetuation of gang behavior. And gang behavior arises because we run our prisons like, I don't know, Jesus Christ, we have television shows. The so-called liberal TV network, if the volcano blew up, if the Yellowstone super volcano blew up, they would not be able to interrupt programming for freaking coverage because they're busy running prison porn, okay?
Brother Bob, I'm receiving flack because I don't support the show Orange is the New Black. I'm supposed to support this show because there's a transgender person on it, and she's black, and I'm supposed to support it, and I'm a hypocrite for not supporting it. But I'm asking this individual, why are you supporting prison, pro-prison propaganda? And, you know, I got no answer. There was no reply to that. Because they don't see that as pro-prison propaganda. But that's exactly what the fuck it is. Just like when we were talking about 24 not too long ago. All that is goddamn war porn.
Yeah.
All day long.
American Sniper, please.
Oh, please. Oh. Yeah, the
And this is and this right? is and this is how this is how you acclimate people to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason that the golden age of Westerns was back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Because there were still indigenous populations that we were busy repressing and suppressing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the Great Dispersion when we started being pushed off reservations and into urban.
I mean, it's 2015, and we are still investigating the failed Indian school system. Okay.
Oh, there's no investigation. This is the same discussion. there's no investigation.
I mean, it was one of the lead stories on the front page of Think Progress today. Congress questions Bureau of Indian Education on crumbling schools.
Yeah, but you know why they're asking that question now? Because they're looking for every nickel and dime to fix, you know, this infrastructure without taking anything.
No, they're looking for every way to look and say, well, it's failed. We can close it now.
Yeah, because they're just like, hey, you know, we've been giving these Indians all this money. What have they been doing with it, right? What have they been doing with it? Well, they've been giving it back to your companies, who in turn do absolutely nothing. And then they're forced to, because that's the way these contracts are drawn up. If you don't do it the way we want you to do it, it's like with Israel. You know, and they say, oh, Israel's producing 60% of the unmanned drones. Well, that's funny. Where did Israel get the money to produce these drones? Oh, American tax funding. So without American tax funding, they would have no fucking industry at all. But, you know, who's buying the material? American firms, right? It's a big circle. It's a big circle. And we're not in it. You know, we might be inside it. We might be outside of it. But we're not in the track. And those who are in the track don't really want anything to change because they get something.
You want to talk about not giving a damn. This story is fascinating. We all know that Republicans, for instance, despise the Department of Education. And yet a right-wing Republican named Carlos Curbelo asked in a hearing if the Bureau of Indian Education could be transferred from the Department of Interior to the Department of Education. Then the response was tribal leaders had rejected that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes on, and they, you know, they get into the details of what it means to say these things are crumbling. For instance, there was one BIE school where students and teachers went without hot water for a year because their request for a water heater got lost in the shuffle.
Well, that's what they're telling them. But there's right. a big water problem in every Indian community in America.
Right, because in many instances, it's one of those places where there's still some of the clean stuff, and there's a corporation that damn well wants it. I mean, that's what the essence of that fight was, that struggle among my friends up in the Wisconsin Northwoods. They got some of the most precious, pristine, clear, beautiful, magnificent water that's left in the entire country, and there was a damn mining consortium run by a renegade hillbilly named Chris Klein who wanted to blow it all to hell and poison every last drop.
Well, hell, they're already bringing pipes to Iowa. The deal hasn't even gone through yet. That came out this morning. They're already bringing the pipe down there.
You know, this particular school went a year without a water heater that was less than $7,500 or less. I know it may sound non sequiturish, but the fact of the matter is, you can have a conversation about why a BIE school can't have a water heater, or as this photograph I'm looking at shows, why their high voltage electrical panel was put next to the dishwasher, and then you can move on and ask why trains leave railroad tracks. See, everybody looks at the Amtrak thing and thinks, oh, it was going 160 miles, it was going light speed. It didn't even slow to impulse. And somehow or another managed to miss the notion of, hey, didn't a bomb train blow up last week? Because I'm pretty sure not all the engineers, I don't think it's a requirement to get your union card that you be a gay railroad engineer.
No. I mean, they want to blame a human being for this until they find out what the hell happened. Because if you don't do that, then that means you have to look at Amtrak. And what's Amtrak going to do? They're going to say, well, hell, we've been asking for infrastructure support for decades. And Republicans are this meeting this week to cut even more money. So, you know, none of this should really surprise anybody.
No, because they are, we're running out of time, so we got to reach some sort of denouement. We've got to reach some sort of conclusion, Angry.
Well, the
conclusion is they are taking this country apart.
Well, yeah, but as I'm saying, they did it to us first. Here it is, Indians have been here for how long, right? The settlers have been here for
15,000 years, give or take a millennium.
And then we're being treated like this, and you will be hard-pressed to find an Indian that if they say, well, we're at war with somebody, that doesn't say, okay, I'm going.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't think our buddy Luda will mind at all that I note that I saw a post on his from his Facebook page that said, you know, he said it wasn't healthy, it wasn't right, and I don't understand why. And he said, and yet I miss the damn infantry.
I mean, that's just one.
And I just kind of read it, and I went, well, of course I understand. I mean, I don't understand because I don't have the common bond of experience, but I could look at the way he described it. Well, hell yeah, but it's the same thing. They've been poisoning, blasting, killing, shooting, and otherwise destroying hillbillies for as long as we've been here, and yet this one little state, West Virginia, has given more lives,
more blood.
On a per capita basis to the United States military than any other state in the Union.
And y'all can't even get your fucking air clean, right?
Air?
Because they don't
water.
Care.
No, shit, no. I mean, I've come to the point that unless something dramatically changes in what remains of my life, the seminal moment in understanding this region is going to be January the 9th, 2014. When 300,000 human beings were poisoned with a substance that we still don't know what its effects are, were poisoned, and not even 1% of them would come to the Capitol and say, stop it.
Because they're scared. Because they're scared.
Well, they're scared, you know, the cable's on, there's bills to be paid, you know, the boss might fire me. I mean, if I do that political shit, you know, they'll can my ass, and then they'll come get the car, and they'll repo the house, and I won't be able to pay my credit cards, and everything falls down, you know, because the shackles are lined with velvet. That's the lesson that's been learned in Appalachia over the last 150 years. You know, they at first they came in and just beat on us, and that just made us mad. Then they gave us television.
Well, television and meth, you know, and OxyContin. You know, they send crack to my neighborhood, they send that stuff to your neighborhood, man. You know.
Yeah, by the way, angry folks are worrying about you. They're concerned that you need to learn to not, you need to learn to stop, you got to learn to stop holding back. It's not healthy.
Oh. Okay,
that's a joke, brother.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, man, you know, I mean, you know, we got to go, but you know, the main thing you have to be willing to ask yourself, you know, am I doing right? Is my country doing right? You know, and if you can't fucking ask yourself that bullshit, then you have no right to go anyplace else to tell anybody how to fucking take care of their goddamn business. You know, I mean, that's just common fucking sense. You know, but I'm still saying that as bad as things are and as bad as everything has happened, this place still has a lot of fucking potential. But these fuckers are blowing it. They're gonna waste it, and it's gonna end up being a fucking another third world goddamn country where everybody's got a gun and everybody's going for fucking each other's throats. I would rather it not get that goddamn far.
And when it does, it will be by design.
Yeah, and hey, for those of you who are thinking about voting, I mean, Senator Sanders, I'm not going to say he's the best thing out there, but hell, do you really want Bush or Clinton? Are those the two best that the United States can possibly come up with for this contest? Really?
That's a hell of a brain trust, isn't it?
Damn, man. I mean, is that really the best thing? I mean, come on, I hate to, you know, quote Marx, but, you know, Marx was right. All the poor have to lose are the goddamn shackles. You know, this is bull.
I don't think Marx ever anticipated that they would be velvet lined, though. Angry, we got to get out of here, brother.
All right, brother, take care.
All right, you too. Bye now.
All right, peace.
Our buddy, the angry Indian. Angry's been getting fan mail all during the program. The latest being our buddy Steve, who says, I love the angry Indian. Jim notes angry but true. And a whole bunch of others that time does not permit. Well, it is. It's time to get out of here. Thank you very kindly, one and all. Again, special particular thanks to Joyce and to Margaret for their incredibly generous support of the program. Thank you very much. Thank you to Kelly for her support. It is much appreciated. Hey, look, Friday on the Front Porch is here already tomorrow. I hope you'll join in. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky, chat room moderators for Lo, Yay Verily, these many years. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox in Australia, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.